Volume 48, Number 11 of the Friend Magazine for November 2018.
Friends by Mail. Shine your light. Thanks for sending in your stars. Keep them coming. Turn to page 39 to see how. Find it. My favorite part of the Friend is the hidden picture activity. When I can't find one of the hidden shapes by myself, I ask my brother or dad for clues. I like it when they help me. Amelia S., age 6, Qatar.
Let Your Light Shine. I read the Let Your Light Shine article and had a chance to let my light shine with my friend. I had a feeling that I should grab a bag of my favorite chips before school. After lunch, my friend looked sad, and I asked him what was wrong. He said he had forgotten his lunch. I remembered my chips, so I gave them to him. After school, he came up to me and said, "That was the nicest thing anyone has ever done for me at school." Durham, M., age 11, Utah, USA.
Learning about Jesus. I love to read The Friend. It has helped me learn more about Jesus. I can't wait to get it every month. Lily U., age 6, Washington, USA.
Dear friends, we hope you got to see or hear some of General Conference last month. And we hope our Conference is for Me section will help you remember what our prophet and other church leaders taught us. This month, you'll also find stories about different ways to help others. Write and tell us how you help people like Jesus did. We love you, The Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. And The Friends by Mail, read by Amelie Strongen and Dallin Heal.
Contents. Conference is for me. A conference message from the prophet, the correct name of the church. Conference news. Conference notes. Show and tell, conference. Building blocks of testimony. Stories and features. Chalk service. Thanks and giving. Family night fun. Shine your light, sharing friendship. Finders keepers. The snow shovel squad. Apostles testify of Christ, Elder Christofferson. Book of Mormon Reading Club. Faith, Hope, and Grace, Part 3. Hope in Holland. Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. For Older Kids. For Older Kids. An A-plus choice. What's on Your Mind? Food and Fun. Sister Date. Fun Stuff. Learning by Light. Music. The Church of Jesus Christ. Things to Make and Do. Fun Stuff. Blooming Service. Family History Quest. Old Testament Heroes. Daniel. Fun Stuff, Find It. Our Women Leaders. Fun Stuff, Hink, Pink, Think. Friend Junior. For Parents of Little Ones. What I Know. Thankful for Scriptures. Searching for Scriptures. Scripture Stories, Daniel and the Lions. Coloring Page. And Count Your Blessings. End of Contents. Read by Wes Nelson.
A Conference Message from the Prophet, The Correct Name of the Church, by President Russell M. Nelson. What is the correct name of the church? The correct name is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Why is it important to always use the correct name of the church instead of nicknames like Mormon Church? People who hear the term Mormon may think we worship the prophet Mormon. We don't. The Savior said, "If a church be called in My name, then it is My church." Who named the church? The Savior Jesus Christ did. He said, "For thus shall My church be called in the last days, even the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints." What does it mean to take Jesus Christ's name upon us, like it says in the sacrament prayer? It means to tell others through our actions and our words that Jesus is the Christ. Sidebar: Jesus Christ directed us to call the church by His name because it is His church, filled with His power. President Russell M. Nelson. Adapted from the correct name of the church, Ensign, November 2018, pages 87 through 89.
Conference news. Starting in January, primary will be 1 hour instead of two. It will have two parts, singing time and class time. In class, you'll study the same scripture stories that you learn about at home. A new book to help your family learn will come in December. Conference quotes. Our Heavenly Father is near us and watches over us day and night. Think of it. First Counselor in the First Presidency. The world is more hope-filled and joyful because of the inspired acts of kindness you perform. Sister Bonnie H. Corden, Young Woman General President. A dozen new temples. President Nelson announced 12 new temples. Use the clues to fill in the names of the countries or states where they will be built. On page 4. End of Conference News. Read by Noah Strongin.
Conference Notes. The Savior will help us. President Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency, talked about what a good example his wife has been over the years. She was always quick to help others. Now, she can't remember things very well, but she still loves singing primary songs. One of her favorites is I'm Trying to Be Like Jesus. President Eyring taught that the Savior is helping his wife through her troubles, and He will carry us through our troubles too. Write down what you learned from this talk. Heavenly Father's Love. Elder Stevenson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles told the true story of a loyal sheepdog. When some sheep got stuck in the mountains, the dog stayed with them, circling in the snowy weather, protecting them from coyotes. The dog finally led the sheep back to the shepherd and the flock. Heavenly Father loves us, and like the sheepdog, will never leave us, even when life gets stormy. We should also love and protect others. Write down what you learned from this talk. Building a Happy Life. Elder Bengeter of the 70 spoke about how small and simple things can make a big difference in our lives. His family goes camping each year. They hold a devotional and ask their children and grandchildren to share a message about Jesus Christ. This year, the grandchildren wrote the topics of their messages on stones. Then they buried the stones. This reminded them that following Christ creates a foundation for a happy life. Write down what you learned from this talk. An unselfish teacher. Sister Franco, Second Counselor in the Primary General Presidency, talked about one of her favorite primary teachers when she was growing up. Back then, primary was held on Tuesday afternoon. Every week, her teacher made the class a chocolate cake. Years later, Sister Franco found out that her teacher walked instead of riding the bus so that she could save enough money to make those cakes. She was unselfish and loved her class. Write down what you learned from this talk. End of Conference Notes, read by Wes Nelson.
Building Blocks of Testimony. Bishop Dean M. Davies is the first counselor in the presiding bishopric. In General Conference, he taught what some of the building blocks of a testimony are. Use the four words on the right to fill in the blanks on page 8. Which of these truths do you already believe? How can you keep learning about each one? Testimony of the Prophet. After President Nelson became the prophet, Bishop Davies listened to every General Conference talk that President Nelson has given since becoming an apostle. This exercise has changed my life, Bishop Davies said. You can watch talks from President Nelson at gc.lds.org. Click on Speakers and Russell M. Nelson. End of the article, Building Blocks of Testimony, read by Bree.
A true story written by you. Chalk Service. Nathan H., age 10, Arizona, USA. I was at church and I was listening to the talks. Someone said, a service is service no matter how small. And that gave me an idea. I called it the Service Club. I took paper and a few markers and made invitation cards. Then I cut them out and gave them away. Last Sunday was the first meeting, and we decided to do nice sidewalk chalk messages at the homes of people who needed encouragement. We did that for 6 families. I feel good that we did the Service Club. I'm glad we did service. The club's motto is, a service is service, no matter how small. End of the story, Chalk Service, read by Will Woods.
Thanks and Giving by Wendy Ellison, based on a true story. What would Kate's family do with the money in the envelope? Freely ye have received, freely give. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Kate scooped creamy mashed potatoes onto her plate. She couldn't help but grin. She loved Thanksgiving, and there was a lot to be thankful for. Soon, she'd get to eat Grandma's famous apple pie. Plus, her aunts, uncles, and cousins were all crowded around the table for dinner, and she loved being with her family. But the best part of Thanksgiving was at the end of the day.
"Gather around,"
Grandma said once dinner was over. She handed out an envelope to each family. Kate opened it and saw money inside.
"Who remembers what we do with the money?"
Grandpa asked. Kate raised her hand.
"We use it to help someone else for Christmas."
"That's right," Grandma said. "I hope you find wonderful ways to help."
When they got home, Kate and her family talked about how they could use their money this year. They could buy a Christmas tree for a neighbor or help another family buy presents. Then Kate had an idea. Once, when she had to stay in the hospital, someone had given her a warm, fuzzy blanket. Maybe her family could make blankets for hospital patients. Kate's sisters, Haley and Rachel, loved her idea. A few days later, Mom took the family shopping for supplies. They had fun picking out fabric together.
"I like this one,"
Haley said. She held up some orange fleece with flowers.
"I do too,"
Mom said.
"And we have enough money for 2 more."
Rachel pointed to some fabric with lions and tigers on it.
"This would be perfect for lying around."
Kate laughed. Her sister was so goofy. Then Kate picked up a pattern with bright colors and shapes. It reminded her of the blanket she had gotten in the hospital. Mom and the girls spent the rest of the day at home, cutting and tying the soft fleece into blankets. It was so much fun! Just before Christmas, Kate's whole family brought the blankets to the children's hospital, where Kate had stayed. As they walked in, Kate recognized the bright colored walls and the sounds of beeping machines. It was fun to see the kids smile when they got their blankets. On Christmas Eve, Kate's family gathered at Grandpa and Grandma's house again. She was excited to hear what her cousins had done with their Thanksgiving money. After dinner, each family talked about their holiday service adventure. One family bought gifts to donate to a charity. Another family gave their money to help a neighbor. Kate's family told about the blankets. At the end of the night, Kate's heart felt as warm and fuzzy as fluffy fleece. Thanksgiving had been about thanks and giving, and that felt really good. The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. Our uncle passed away a couple of years ago. On his birthday, right before he died, he asked us to help the homeless instead of giving him a present. So now, every year on his birthday, we do things for the homeless. This year, we made kits to give them. We can show Jesus' love by helping others. We can show Jesus' love by helping others. Ben and Paisley C., ages 8 and 3, Utah, USA.
End of the story, Thanks and Giving. Read by Shauna Thompson. Amelie Strongen, Jane Wise, Van Farnworth, Rena and Shannon Nelson, and L. Anderson. Family Night Fun. Here's an idea for family home evening. What other ideas can you come up with? Comfort Critters. Read Thanks and Giving on page 10. See page 35 of the January 2017 Friend to see how to make no-sew fleece blankets. Or make these soft animals for kids who need some cheering up. Here's what you need. Socks, cotton or other soft stuffing, hot glue, scissors, felt, and a marker. Step 1. Fill a sock with stuffing. Fold over the open end and have an adult help glue it down with hot glue. Step 2. Cut shapes out of the felt to make arms, legs, ears, a tummy, a tail, and whatever else you want. Step 3. Glue the pieces down and draw on a face. Mashed potato bites. Make this cheesy snack with your family. Be sure to get an adult's help. You'll need a 1/4 cup of bacon bits, 2/3 cup cheddar cheese plus extra for topping, 1 egg, 3 cups of mashed potatoes, and cooking spray. Step 1. Mix the bacon bits, cheese, and egg into the mashed potatoes. Step 2. Spray a muffin tin with cooking spray. Scoop the potato mixture into each cup and press it into place. Sprinkle the top with cheese. Step 3. Bake at 375 degrees Fahrenheit or 190 degrees Celsius for 20 to 25 minutes or until golden brown. More ideas. Read Chalk Service on page 9. Share a nice message with one of your neighbors. Read Count Your Blessings on page FJ8. Everyone say one thing you're grateful for. Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. End of this month's Family Night Fun, read by Wes Nelson.
Shine Your Light. Sharing Friendship. From an interview with Linda Davies.
Hi, my name is Ella Noah, and I'm from New Zealand. My family and I shine our light by sharing the friend with our friends. I can't wait. Every month, my brother and sisters and I can't wait to get the Friend magazine. A friendly idea. One day, my sister Novaya asked our mom if she could share the Friend with her friends at school. Our mom said yes. After school, Novaya told us her friends loved the magazine. Some even wanted a copy of their own. A magazine and a treat. Now, each month when my parents go to the temple, they buy extra copies of the Friend at the distribution center. Then we think of friends who haven't been coming to primary or aren't members of the church. We visit them with a friend and a treat. Cool! My brother Andrew says his friend thinks the Friend is cool. And my friend Abigail loves the Family Night Fun pages with all the activities and recipes. We all love the Friend. Sharing the Friend. Is there someone you'd like to share the Friend with? Fill out the form on page 15 to subscribe. End of the article, Sharing Friendship. Read by Amelie and Gabriel Strongen.
Finders Keepers by Marissa Dennis, based on a true story.
We better get back to class,
Anthony says to Mike. But Mike kneels down, noticing something on the sidewalk.
Hang on, I think I found something,
Mike says.
Whoa, Josh, come here. Mike found 10 pounds.
Brilliant. So what are we going to do with it?
Anthony recommends.
Maybe we could buy some sweets?
What are you guys talking about? It's not ours.
Of course it is. Finders Keepers.
No way. I'm going to turn it into the office.
What?
At least split it with me and Anthony. You can turn in the rest.
It's not right to keep it. You can't change my mind.
Mike walks all the way to the school office and hands the money over.
I found this in the courtyard. I thought someone might come looking for it.
The secretary takes the money with a big smile of approval.
Oh, thank you.
Later, in group study, Anthony and Josh are still disappointed with Mike's choice.
You're such a goody-goody.
I can't believe you wouldn't share.
I know I did the right thing.
A week later, Mike's teacher says,
the headmistress wants to see you in her office.
Mike is worried and wonders to himself.
Am I in trouble?
When he gets to the headmistress's office, she says to him,
come in, Mike. I just wanted to thank you for turning this in. Not many people would have. You are a good example.
Oh, thank you.
We held it in case someone came looking for it, but no one did. I thought you should keep it.
Wow, thank you.
Mike feels great and thinks to himself,
even if I hadn't gotten the money back, I'm glad I was honest.
End of the story, Finders Keepers, read by Ethan Nelson, Dallin Heal, Noah Strongen, Kristen Hawkins, Shauna Thompson, and Jane Wise.
Family History Quest. Grow a family gratitude tree. You know about a family tree, and maybe you've heard of a gratitude tree. This month, squish the two together and make a family gratitude tree. Put a paper tree trunk and branches on your wall. Then cut out lots of paper leaves. On each leaf, finish one of these sentences. I'm grateful for my family because... I'm grateful for family history because... I'm grateful for temples because... You can also add leaves throughout the month about anything else you're grateful for. Don't forget to cut out your badge and add it to the badge keeper from January. Print past pages or extra copies of this page at friendfhq.lds.org. FamilySearch.org Ornaments. Christmas is right around the corner. Print small pictures of ancestors from FamilySearch.org and make ornaments. Then, when you decorate for Christmas, talk about what you learned about these family members. End of Grow a Family Gratitude Tree. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Old Testament Heroes. Daniel bravely followed God. When Daniel was young, he was sent to live with a king. The king gave Daniel and his friends meat and wine. God told them not to eat it. Daniel asked for other food and water instead. He and his friends were healthier because they listened to God. When Daniel got older, other leaders in the kingdom were jealous of him. They tricked the king into making a law that said anyone who prayed to God would be thrown into a den of lions. Daniel prayed anyway. The jealous men took Daniel to the king, who put Daniel in the lion's den. God sent an angel to shut the lion's mouth so Daniel would not be hurt. Daniel was so faithful that he later saw a vision of the Lord. Read about Daniel in the Book of Daniel. Melody D., age 10, Utah, USA, sent in a wonderful picture of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel trusted God and stood up for what he believed. Watch chapters 40 and 43 of the Old Testament stories at scripturestories.lds.org. Practice saying, no thanks, if someone asks you to eat, drink, or watch something bad. Pray every day for a week. Try to make it a habit. I can stand up for what I believe by... Print more cards at otfriend2018.lds.org. End of Daniel Bravely Followed God. Read by Noah Strongen.
The Snow Shovel Squad by Toby Huggins and Charlotte Larsibal. Based on a true story. When we're helping, we're happy. Children's Songbook, page 198. Gavin looked out the window. Big white snowflakes were falling softly to the ground. He grinned as he thought about all the fun he could have skiing and building snowmen. Gavin loved winter in Canada.
Gavin?
Mom said. Gavin blinked and turned back to the living room. It was family home evening, and the lesson was on service, but it was hard to pay attention. Mom smiled.
I know you're excited about the snow, but what are ways our family could help someone?
Gavin looked out the window again. Snow was piling up on the driveways on his street.
Hey, what if we shoveled the Ramsey's driveway?
He asked.
Yeah,
Gavin's big brother Jensen said.
They'd really like that.
That's a great idea,
Dad said.
The Ramseys are getting older, and shoveling snow is hard for them.
The next morning, Gavin's family shoveled the Ramseys' driveway. Gavin was glad they were doing it together. Even Gavin's little sisters, Chloe and Kenzie, helped. The path Kenzie shoveled looked like a giant snake had slithered through the snow. After scraping together the last pile of snow, Gavin gave his brother a high five. We make a great team, Jensen said.
Yeah,
said Gavin.
We're the snow shovel squad.
After the next two snowstorms, the snow shovel squad happily shoveled both their driveway and the Ramseys. One time, Mrs. Ramsey tried to pay them, but they politely said no.
The snow shovel squad is a not-for-profit team,
Gavin explained. That made Mrs. Ramsey laugh. The snow kept coming. Shoveling two driveways got harder and harder. After a while, Mom and Dad had to remind the snow shovel squad how much they were needed. One morning, Gavin woke up especially excited. They were going skiing today. He looked outside and grinned. The snow looked perfect. He ran to find his skis. Soon, everyone was packing the van for their trip. Just as they buckled their seat belts, Mom turned to look at them.
What about the Ramseys' driveway?
Gavin looked at Jensen. They had forgotten all about it.
Can we do it later?
Jensen said.
We want to get to the mountain before it gets too busy.
Okay.
And Dad started the van. But then Gavin glanced out his window. He could see Mr. Ramsey trying to clear his driveway. It looked like he could hardly lift his shovel.
Wait, Dad,
Gavin said.
Mr. Ramsey needs the snow shovel squad right away.
Everyone got out and grabbed their shovels.
Sorry we're late,
Gavin called out. Mr. Ramsey smiled.
Thank you so much, he said. It would have taken me hours to shovel this driveway alone.
With the help of the snow shovel squad, the Ramsey's driveway was snow-free in just a few minutes. After that, nobody had to remind Gavin about the Ramsey's driveway. If it snowed, the snow shovel squad was out shoveling, sometimes even before breakfast. Sometimes it snowed so much they had to shovel two times in one day. As the weeks went by, shoveling the driveways didn't seem so hard. In fact, Gavin thought that helping the Ramseys was one of the best parts of winter. Then one day he woke up and saw that the sun was warm and bright. The snow was melting down the driveway. How could he help others now that it was spring? The authors live in British Columbia, Canada, and Utah, USA.
Sidebar: we helped shovel snow for our neighbor who was out of town. Alyssa and Carter H., ages 3 and 7, Nebraska, USA.
End of the story, The Snow Shovel Squad. Read by Van Farnworth, Shauna Thompson, Dallin Heal, Will Woods, Scott Christopher, and L. Anderson.
Apostles testify of Christ. I bear you my witness of the living reality of the bread of life, Jesus Christ, and of the infinite power and reach of his atonement. By Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. End of Apostles Testify of Christ, read by Noah Strongin.
Our Women Leaders. Cut out the pictures on page 25 and tape them in place on the chart. Put tape at the top of each picture so you can still read the facts underneath. Sister Lisa L. Harkness, First Counselor, Primary General Presidency. Served a Spanish-speaking mission in Louisiana, USA. Taught children at a science museum during college. Likes golfing, hiking, and doing family history. Sister Joy D. Jones, Primary General President. Loves eating popcorn and playing with her family. As a child, carried stacks of library books home to read before school and on weekends. Studied home and family sciences in college because she loves children. Sister Christina B. Franco, second counselor, primary general presidency. Was born in Argentina and met her husband when they were in primary. Loves art and has designed fabrics. Likes getting together with family to eat homemade pasta. Sister Michelle D. Craig, first counselor, Young Women General Presidency. Served a mission in the Dominican Republic. Studied to be an elementary school teacher. Enjoys doing family history and going to the temple. Sister Bonnie H. Corden, Young Women General President. In grade school, she raised chickens and sold eggs. Studied education in college and served missions in Portugal and Brazil. Loves to scuba dive, ski, hike, and meet people around the world. Sister Becky Craven, second counselor, Young Women General Presidency. Lived in Germany, England, and seven U.S. states when she was growing up. Studied interior design in college and served a mission in North Carolina, USA with her husband. Likes snowshoeing, painting, and playing games with her family. Sister Sharon Eubank, First Counselor, Relief Society General Presidency. Served a mission in Finland and taught English in Japan. Directs the church's humanitarian work, including giving wheelchairs to people who can't walk. Likes history, homemade pie, and crossword puzzles. Sister Jean B. Bingham, Relief Society General President. By the time she was seven, she had lived in four U.S. states. Loves to climb trees, watch birds, and collect interesting rocks. Studied teaching in college and enjoys helping people learn. Sister Reina I. Alberto, Second Counselor, Relief Society General Presidency. Was born in Nicaragua and survived a big earthquake as a child. Studied engineering in college and owns a translation company with her husband. Was baptized when she was 26 years old. End of the article, Our Women Leaders, read by Shauna Thompson.
Find it. Jesus fed thousands of people with just five loaves of bread and two fish. Jesus told them that they should seek spiritual food also. They should believe in him and follow him. He said, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I'm that bread of life." John 6:47-48. Find the hidden objects below. End of Find It. Read by Sean Nelson.
Fun stuff. Hink, pink, think. A hink pink is a pair of rhyming words that match a definition. See if you can solve these. The first one's been done for you. Check your answers on page 39. 1. An orange vegetable carved into the shape of a bright feathered bird. Carrot, parrot. 2. What you find in a pot at the end of a rainbow, but then stick in the refrigerator. 3. A stuffed animal that loves to eat honey, that helps you remember to talk to Heavenly Father. 4. A really big fish with lots of teeth who likes to play on the swings and slide down the slide. 5. Your father when he is really happy. 6. When you stop what you're doing at a birthday party to eat the dessert. 7. When your family is out of town and looking for the building for Sunday meetings. 8. A super fast airplane that takes your dog, cat, and goldfish where they need to go. 9. When you draw one of your favorite stories from the Book of Mormon. End of the article, Hink, Pink, Think, read by Amelie Strongen.
Book of Mormon Reading Club. Join in by reading the Book of Mormon. You can read on your own, with your family, or with a friend. Then tell us about it. See page 39 to find out how.
One day, I was doing my homework when I decided to put it away and read the Book of Mormon. After I read 1 Nephi 3:21, I felt good inside, so I kept on reading. Ethan F., age 9, Utah, USA.
I let my light shine by giving my friend a Book of Mormon. Ginger H., age 10, Hawaii, USA.
This month's scripture, Alma 37:37. Counsel with the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good.
End of Book of Mormon Reading Club. Read by Gabe Strongen, Will Woods, and Shannon Nelson.
Faith, Hope, and Grace, Part 3. Hope in Holland by Megan Armconnect, based on a true story. Grace was a 15-year-old girl living in Holland during World War II. The war had gone on for a long time. The people in Holland were starving, and they hoped the war would soon be over. The last year of World War II was the very worst for Holland. The Nazis took everything. There was no coal to heat the house. Grace couldn't go to school. She and her family had to eat tulip bulbs to keep from starving. They tasted horrible. Worst of all, Dad was still a prisoner of war. But people were hopeful. Some said the Nazis were losing the war. And in May of 1945, the Nazis finally surrendered. Holland was free again. People celebrated in the streets. Now Grace could go back to school. There were no soldiers to be afraid of. Best of all, one day when Grace and her brothers were walking back from school, they saw that the flag of Holland was flying in front of their home. Could it mean...
Dad's home!
Shouted Heber. Grace and her brothers ran inside. Grace threw her arms around Dad and gave him a big hug. He hugged her back tightly. It was so wonderful to have him home. Soon after that, packages of food, clothes, and medicine began arriving in Holland. The church leaders in Salt Lake City sent a lot of supplies to help people after the war. Grace even got a new dress. She had worn the same dress for 5 years, so she was very happy to have a new one. For the first time in years, Grace had enough to eat. The mission presidency and the government in Holland decided to start a potato project to grow more food. Church members planted lots of potatoes in nearby fields. By fall, they would have thousands of potatoes to eat.
Look,
Grace told Dad, pointing to a sprouting potato plant.
We'll never go hungry again.
Dad nodded, but didn't smile. He said,
President Zappi told me that the Latter-day Saints in Germany are still starving, just like we were. They're not getting help from the government like we are.
Dad put his arm around Grace's shoulders.
President Zappi has asked if we would give our potatoes to the German saints.
Give up our potatoes?
Grace cried. But the Nazis were from Germany.
I know it's not easy. But the people from Germany are also children of God. He loves them too. I forgave the Nazis for making me a prisoner. The Lord can help us all forgive.
Grace looked up at Dad. He was the bravest person she knew, but she didn't know if she had the courage to forgive like him. Then she remembered one of her teachers in school during the war. Her teacher had said that not all Germans were Nazis, and not all Nazi soldiers were bad. And now the girls and boys in Germany were starving, just like Grace had been. Grace took a deep breath.
I understand. Let's give them our potatoes.
Dad hugged her and smiled.
You are such a brave girl. This is a hard thing to do, but we are disciples of Jesus Christ, and so are our German brothers and sisters.
Grace smiled. The angry feelings in her heart melted, and she felt calm and warm. She could forgive the Germans, and Jesus could help her love them, too. The author lives in New Jersey, USA.
Sidebar. Latter-day Saints in Holland gave 140,000 pounds, 70 tons, of potatoes and 180,000 pounds, 90 tons, of fish to the German Latter-day Saints. Later, in 1953,
the German saints sent supplies to church members in Holland after a huge flood. Watch a video about the Dutch Potato Project at friend.lds.org during November. End of Faith, Hope, and Grace, Part 3, Hope in Holland, by Megan Armknecht. Read by Scott Christopher, Gabe and Amelie Strongen, and Van Farnworth.
Matt and Mandy. This month's Matt and Mandy, it's Thanksgiving time, and the Cooper family is discussing the things they're grateful for. Matt says,
"This spaghetti is really good, Mom."
"Thank you, and you're welcome. I'm thankful that your dad has a job and we're able to buy food. Heavenly Father has really blessed us."
"Well, I'm grateful that I'm healthy enough to work, and also that there's food to buy."
Mandy adds,
"And that there's rain and sunshine for growing food. Something else Heavenly Father gets thanks for."
"I'm thankful for how good some things taste, like peanut butter."
"Ew, not my favorite."
"It's just a regular day, but this has turned into a Thanksgiving dinner."
Off to the side, the rubber chicken thinks.
"Did someone say Thanksgiving? I'm thankful I'm not a turkey."
End of Matt and Mandy.
Four older kids. Brain teaser. I have 88 keys, but I can't open any door. What am I? See page 39. Dear journal, write down 5 good things that happened to you this week. How has Heavenly Father blessed you? Quick quiz. Finish the scripture. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as blank. Hint. See Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. A. White as snow. B. Pure as wool. C. Clear as water. Or D. Clean as linen. See page 39. Secret service. Rake leaves, shovel snow, or plant flowers. Give away tickets or tokens at an arcade or carnival. Help someone with their homework. Draw it. Draw a goat from the letter G. Isaac D., age 11, Utah, USA, said, "I can prepare myself for the Aaronic priesthood by acting like Jesus Christ, reading my scriptures, and praying." End of article for older kids, read by Bree.
An A-plus choice by Julianne Tenney Doman, based on a true story. "He that doeth good is of God." 3 John chapter 1, verse 11. Brett was getting ready for bed when Dad knocked on his door.
"Is everything all right?"
Dad asked.
"You seemed a little sad at dinner."
Brett plopped down on his bed.
"I guess I'm just nervous about all the tests I have at school this week. We didn't have this many in elementary school."
"Middle school is a change, isn't it?"
Dad asked, sitting down by Brett.
"I guess they want to challenge you more."
Brett sighed and fell back on his pillow.
"It's definitely a challenge."
Dad smiled.
"Just do your best. Mom and I are here for you, and Heavenly Father was always ready to help. Why don't we pray about it?"
After the prayer, Dad left and Brett crawled into bed. He felt peaceful. He knew Heavenly Father would help him do his best. A couple weeks later, Brett's little sister, Julie, came into the kitchen with the mail, including 2 envelopes. Report cards. Brett gulped.
"Here's yours,"
she said, holding it out to Brett.
"Thanks."
Brett took the envelope and stared at it. His heart beat a little faster. Slowly he opened the envelope. He unfolded the paper. Then his heart sank. His grades could have been worse, but they definitely could have been better. He had tried hard and done his best, but he still felt pretty lousy.
"I got all A's,"
Julie told Mom and Dad, waving her report card.
"I'll be on the honor roll."
Brett felt like crying. He knew he wouldn't be on the honor roll.
"Way to go."
Mom gave Julie a high five. Julie turned to Brett, hand up. Brett tried to smile.
Good job, Julie. That's awesome,
he said, giving her a high five.
Thanks,
said Julie. She grabbed her backpack and ran upstairs.
How about you, Brett? How are your grades?
Brett handed over the report card without looking up. Dad was quiet for a second as he and Mom looked at it.
Not what you were hoping for, huh?
Dad said. Brett shook his head.
That's okay,
Mom said, putting her arm around his shoulders and giving him a squeeze.
We know how hard you worked, and there's always next time. Middle school is harder, but you'll get the hang of it.
But Julie gets A's every time,
Brett blurted out.
Well, it's not a competition. Plus, school grades aren't the most important grades in life.
What do you mean?
Dad smiled.
You said good job to Julie and gave her a high five, even when you were feeling sad about your own grades. I think that was an A-plus choice.
Brett smiled. He couldn't always control his grades, but he could control how hard he tried and how he treated his sister. He'd keep working on his grades, and he'd keep making good choices. He wanted to be an A-plus kid. The author lives in Colorado, USA.
Sidebar. Blessings will come, not so much because of your abilities, but because of your choices. Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles.
End of the story, an A-plus choice. Read by Rena Nelson, Dave Shaw, Noah Strongen, Shannon Nelson, Kristen Hawkins, and Shauna Thompson.
What's on your mind? Everybody I know has lots of talents. How can I find something I'm good at? Talentless in Toronto.
Dear Talentless, did you know God gave everyone special gifts and talents, including you? You're not talentless at all. Sometimes it takes a while to figure out what our talents are. That's okay. Just keep trying to use your gifts to help others. With Heavenly Father's help, you can even gain new talents. He made you a truly special person, and you do amazing things. Never forget that. The Friend. Here are just a few of the gifts Heavenly Father might have given you. Circle the ones you have already. Underline ones you might want to practice. What others can you think of? Listening. Faith. Building things. Making people laugh. Teamwork. Cooking. Writing. Loving others. Imagining. Using time wisely. And reading.
End of What's on Your Mind? Read by Sean and Wes Nelson.
Food and Fun. 3D Thankful Apple by Christina Crosland. 1. Cut red, yellow, or green paper into strips 1/2 inch wide, cutting along the short side of the paper. Glue the middle of the strips together, crisscrossing them so they make a star shape. Write something you are thankful for on each point of the star. 3. Turn the star over so the words are facing down. Then glue the ends together to form a ball. 4. Add leaves and a stem. Now put your apples somewhere to remember what you're grateful for. Recipe: Mini candy apples. 3 large apples, 1 pound chewy caramel candies, 1/4 cup heavy cream, toppings like crushed nuts, coconut, or pretzel crumbs, toothpicks. With a small melon baller or spoon, scoop out round balls from the apples and pat dry. Insert a toothpick into each ball. Put the caramels and cream in a pan and cook on low heat. Stir occasionally until smooth. Dip each apple ball completely into the melted mixture. Then dip into ice water for 6 seconds. Dip the apple ball into your toppings of choice and pop it into your mouth. End of 3D Thankful Apple by Christina Crosland, read by Jane Wise.
Sister Date by David Dixon, Church Magazines. I have a family here on earth. They are so good to me. Children's Songbook, page 188.
No fair!
Rachel yelled.
I don't want to watch your show.
She grabbed for the remote control. But her big sister Brianna was faster. She held the remote above her head.
I just sat through your cartoon,
she said.
Now it's my turn to watch my show.
Rachel scowled and jumped off the couch.
You're being mean.
I am not,
Brianna said.
It's my turn.
After more arguing, Rachel heard Dad's footsteps coming down the hall. Uh-oh. Dad always had the same solution when it came to fighting over the TV.
Time to turn it off,
he said. He pushed the power button on the remote. The screen went black.
But Dad,
Brianna said,
I didn't get to watch my favorite show.
Before Dad could say anything, Rachel heard herself blurting out,
That's because it's boring.
No, it's not,
Brianna said. Rachel put her hands on her hips. Her insides felt hot and bubbly, like a volcano.
It's the most boringest show in the universe.
She would rather watch weeds grow than watch Brianna's show. Her sister liked the weirdest things. Dad stepped between them.
All right, cool it. Maybe you two need some space from each other.
Brianna gave Rachel a mean look that made Rachel's stomach twist. Brianna hadn't ever looked at her like that before.
Fine,
Brianna snapped.
I'll be in my room, away from her.
Dad put a hand on Brianna's shoulder.
You know,
he said, looking at both of them,
I wish you two would be nice to each other. You could be best friends.
Brianna stomped to her room, and Rachel heard her slam her bedroom door. The twisty feeling in her stomach got worse. Rachel went outside to ride her scooter. Maybe it would help her forget the way Brianna had looked at her. The sky was warm and sunny, but no matter how hard Rachel tried, she couldn't stop worrying about the argument with Brianna.
Her favorite show really is boring,
she thought.
It's boringer than dirt, but maybe I should have let her watch it anyway.
She kept riding her scooter in circles. Then she noticed someone walk toward her. It was Brianna.
Hey,
Brianna said. Rachel stopped her scooter. Why was Brianna smiling?
Hi.
She said back.
So, I thought we could use a sister date. Maitri, how does the fun center sound?
That was Rachel's favorite place.
Really?
She answered.
That sounds awesome. Let's go.
And it was awesome. The two of them skated around and around the rink. Brianna even brought money for the arcade games. They won tickets and traded them for goofy glasses with fake mustaches. Rachel giggled while Brianna made funny faces with her mustache. Then she remembered the fight they had earlier.
I'm sorry I didn't let you watch your TV show. I wasn't being very nice.
Brianna put her arm around her.
Neither was I. I'm sorry too. Besides, this is the kind of stuff I'd rather do with you anyway.
Rachel smiled her biggest smile.
Me too, because we're best friends, right?
Brianna gave her a big sister hug.
Best friends.
She agreed.
End of the story, Sister Date. Read by Wes and Shannon Nelson and L. Anderson.
For parents of little ones. If you're looking for exciting stories about bravery, heroism, and adventure to share with your children, start with the Scriptures. Scripture stories can help children internalize gospel truths that will guide them long after you've closed the book. Tell a Scripture bedtime story. You could use illustrated stories from past issues of Friend Junior. Have your child act out Scripture stories as you narrate. Use basic costumes to add to the fun. You could also use toys, puppets, or scripture figures to tell the story. To print scripture figures, go to lessonhelps.org www.lds.org and click on the category Scripture Figures. Pick a special word when telling the story. Point to your child whenever that word comes up and let your child say the word to help tell the story. Have your child choose a picture from the Gospel Art Book, available at store.lds.org or at medialibrary.lds.org, and tell them that scripture story while they eat breakfast or lunch. End of For Parents of Little Ones, read by Van Farnworth.
Action Rhyme! What I Know by Jordan Monson Wright. I may not know everything, but I can clearly see that Jesus Christ loves everyone, including you and me. When I see people who need help, I know just what to do. I serve them just like Jesus would, because I love them too. End of the action rhyme, What I Know, read by Sean Nelson.
Thankful for Scriptures by Jennifer Maddy. James opened his Book of Mormon picture book. He saw a picture of Nephi building a boat. James pounded his toy hammer. Bam, 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 he said as he built a pretend boat. James turned the page. He saw Moroni leading his army against the bad guys. James held up a pretend banner. I will protect my family, he shouted. James turned the page again. He saw a picture of Jesus blessing children. James closed his eyes. He pretended that he was sitting with Jesus. James felt happy. Before he got into bed, James folded his arms and prayed, Heavenly Father, I am thankful for the scriptures. End of the article, Thankful for Scriptures, read by Shannon Nelson.
Scripture Stories, Daniel and the Lions, by Kim Webb Reed. Daniel was the king's helper. The king liked Daniel because he was a good person. The other leaders were jealous. They made a plan to hurt Daniel. They tricked the king into making a new law that whoever prayed to God would be thrown into a den of lions. They knew Daniel believed in God and would pray no matter what. When they saw Daniel praying, they told the king. The king was sad he had been tricked, but the law could not be changed. The king put Daniel into a den of lions. He covered the door with a heavy stone. What was going to happen to Daniel? God sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions. In the morning, the king took Daniel out of the den. He was happy that Daniel was safe. He told all the kingdom that God had saved Daniel. I can be like Daniel by praying and trusting Heavenly Father. From Daniel chapter 6. End of Scripture Stories, Daniel and the Lions, by Kim Webb Reed. Read by Kate Strongen.
Count Your Blessings by Lori Fuller, Church Magazines. Based on a true story. JC stared at the nightlight. It was too bright. She couldn't sleep. She pulled her blanket over her eyes. Now it was too dark. She couldn't sleep. JC grabbed her teddy bear. It had a little bell inside that made noise. JC shook the bear. Ting, 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 went the bell. That didn't help her sleep either. She was so bored. There was no one to talk to, and it was too quiet and too dark. JC started to cry. She would never fall asleep. Just then, her door opened softly.
JC!
It was Daddy. He came and sat by her on the bed.
What's the matter?
Daddy asked.
It's too quiet. I can't sleep. My brain just keeps thinking of things.
Jacy wiped the tears off her cheeks. Daddy rubbed her back.
Sometimes when I can't sleep, I sing my favorite song, and then I count my blessings.
Daddy started singing. He sang,
"Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done."
Jacy hummed along. She liked this song, too.
"What are some of your blessings?"
My teddy bear.
She waved the bear to make the bell jingle.
"That's a good blessing. What else?"
"Daddy! Daddy is a blessing."
That made Daddy smile.
"And Mommy and Baby Daryl. He's kind of a blessing."
Daddy laughed.
"How about your warm bed and your nightlight?"
Jacy nodded. She was starting to feel sleepy. Daddy pulled the blanket up to Jacy's chin.
"You are a blessing too, Jacy. I love you."
He gave her a kiss and closed the door behind him. Jacy hummed the song again.
"Count your blessings, count your blessings."
And soon she was fast asleep.
End of the story, Count Your Blessings, read by Kristen Hawkins, Dave Shaw, and Shannon Nelson.